we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here.
Yeah, well, you're doing it. That's the most important part.
So,
but back to where I was, I can't remember exactly where it was, but All Nighters.
Yes.
So shows in 10 days or whatever. And I am not close to being done. I have to figure out how to actually complete all 5 looks. Otherwise I'd be disqualified. And I had four-ish done, but they were not done. Like, there were so many more, like, little things I had to do to finish them so that they looked exactly like the photo, like the drawings that I submitted. But I was so serious. So I was like, they must be exact. Like, but anyway, so for 10...
Let's see if this works.
For 10 straight days, I did not sleep. And right. Talk about unlocking some shit in your brain. I'm 10 days without sleep, just knitting.
Can you see that?
Yeah, those are me.
That's you, dude. Look at that.
Yeah.
That is not your average. That's not your mom's
quote.
Yeah,
so it was like lots of ink. Lots of ink inspiration. And like one of the pieces was like knitted leather. And so my hands were like crippled. Seriously, they like just were like balling up like trigger finger. Because it was so like heavy to knit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so 10 straight days before the show, and I was literally knitting the socks backstage. And I remember the first show went out
down
without
socks.
Dude.
The first one went out without socks?
And, like the first show, one of the girls didn't have the socks on, and I thought it was like,
you're like, that's it.
I was like, I didn't finish. Like, I just had this like feeling of like, I didn't finish.
Mm.
And then like, everybody was they were so nice. Like, everybody was so, you know, you'd think that in fashion, people would be kind of mad or whatever if they felt intimidated by you or they thought you were really great. No way. These people that I was alongside as like quote unquote team FIT, they were all like just so supportive. And
well, dude, you made something that like, was so unique and so, I mean, look at those fucking things. That was just so out there as a concept, I feel like. And I have no fucking clue about fashion. I mean, mm-hmm. I wear Walmart shit and I do not care about what I wear.
But that's because you're saying something to the people around you non-verbally about who you are.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. I got holes in my shirt.
But that's just, it's to see what you created is crazy. And then, you know, so you're knitting socks as they're going out. You've got all these mm-hmm. people who typically I don't think would be very like helpful with their competition, right? And then they're like praising you, giving you high praise. That must be awesome. That has to be really cool to be acknowledged for
your
efforts.
Absolutely. And like that word, you just said a key word, like acknowledged. That is something that at 20 years old, like when you work so hard for something like that, on something, and people acknowledge you and give you this sense of accomplishment or, you know, praise, like it gave me so much confidence. That I never would have had otherwise. Like, you know, to have basically birthed something into the world, like 10 days no sleep, like knitting 16 hours a day for 5 months, like to get this thing done, and then to be like acknowledged for it, that it actually was amazing. Like, I am so grateful for that, because there's, you know, especially, like I said, in an industry where it's like devil wears Prada, where so often you expect it just to be like demeaning and you have to like perk yourself up, you know, you're prepared for that. And to, for it to be the opposite feeling of like, you know, all these people like actually cared about what I put out in the world, like at such a young age too. Like, I can't believe how much that has changed my life since then.
That goes to 7 years
ago. Yeah. So.
And it just goes to show you how much, like, putting in the work, how that will get you somewhere. If, even if you're, it doesn't matter if you're the best at something immediately or the worst at it, whatever, like, you put in the work. How many of those other people in that competition knitted for 16 hours a day for that full 5 months? How many people that you were in competition against just went partied and, you know, okay, I'm gonna work on this for a few hours and then I'll go to class and then I'll go party and then I'll go with my boyfriend? And you made this your life. You sacrificed everything so you could make that possible. And it goes to show you how that pays off. I mean, you had people, you know, giving you these praises, like, and you won this very prestigious competition that you didn't even think you could even be a part of. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. I mean, the people in the competition, they were all very similar to me. Like, they were gung-ho. They were all working equally as hard as me. And in fact, like, there are so many times maybe I wouldn't have been able to finish if I didn't have them in the workroom with me, or because I connected with everybody because I was always in the workroom. So like anybody who came in to like work on their stuff, we had a heart to heart while we were like working on our stuff. But yeah, I mean, like one of my best friends in the whole wide world, she, Julia Cork, she has her own bridal company, Julia Cork Bridal, Canadian based. And she was in that show with me too, and worked her ass off and now has her own business. And so like all the people that were in the show, they were intense, but you know, like, there was so much like question when I was like applying to the show by the curator, Jimmy. He was like, are you going to be able to do this? Like, you know, looking at the sketches. And I was like,
hell yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
I need this job.
Similar to when I need this job. You know, to me, there was no other choice. Like, to me, it was like, this is the opportunity, you know, like, and there was no, I developed back then, like, a sort of saying that I say a lot to myself still in my head, like whenever I'm like really not wanting to do something, or if I'm like really overwhelmed or feeling anxious or whatever, I think of like the time is gonna pass anyway, and like tomorrow I'm gonna be there in that moment if I did it or didn't do it, so I might as well do it. I might as well just get it done. Because the time's gonna pass anyway. And whether I sleep or if I like quit or whatever, the time's going to pass anyway. And I'm going to be in a moment where I'm looking back and I probably would have wished that I had just done it, because the time's going to pass anyway. And I'm going to be, you know, normal, like in a normal situation, relaxing, whatever, on a Saturday, and the time's going to have passed.
Yep.
So did I do it? Did I not, you know? So I think that to myself a lot, even still, like I still have this like crazy work schedule where I do tons of all-nighters. So like, and I just keep saying the time's gonna pass anyway, so I might as well just do the thing that I'm gonna be proud of.
So we'll fast forward a little bit because you won that fashion show, and then you were able to host it the next year, and then you ended up
So I opened the show the next year.
That's cool. And then you started your own business from
there. Yeah. So it's actually kind of like overlaps a little bit. The summer after I had won the show, I was like so drained. Like my adrenals were like really, really messed up. And I like really was like non-functioning. And cognitively, I guess.
That's me on a daily basis, so I can relate.
Yeah, like maybe, like I think it was like my first experience like of depression, which is like so bizarre because it was like,
you're burnt out
right after this like crazy high, but I was just totally burnt out, and so summer comes and my mom's talking in yoga about how her daughter won this competition as a fashion designer. And she's
I didn't
here
even
for
realize
the summer.
That was all in your senior year. You were in your senior year during all
yes.
that.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So when you moved to Florida with Trav and Jesse, I was in New York because I was finishing school.
Holy shit. So you're starting a company.
And
going to college.
Yeah.
And sleeping at the library.
Yeah.
And being a badass and winning fashion shows and making clothes for Beyonce's daughters. And how did that come out into be? Are you allowed to talk about that? Or is that like a hush hush deal?
Well, like no. they're so private. Like I don't even know if the pieces ever even got there. Like there's
really?
So like but anyway, I was connected a friend of mine in school. She was a style. She worked below a stylist for Kelly Rowland, who's obviously
Destiny's
Child.
Child.
and she, yeah, and so she tried. My friend tried to introduce like Kelly Rowland to my pieces from these shows, and to potentially wear to a gala or whatever. And they ended up not working for what she wanted to wear, but she was like, this is incredible. I want, because Beyonce and Jay-Z had their twins. She like sent me a picture of like these two little baby outfits that they wanted to replicate and kind of put their own spin on. And so they commissioned me to do little baby outfits for the twins. But
cool.
Mean, I'm not allowed. but who even knows if that they actually, you know, I sent them to an address and like
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
but
so
anyway.
Cool.
but I basically just my mom met John White in a yoga class. John White overhears my mom talking about her daughter is in town, this fashion designer. Totally embarrassing me. And John, of course, is like, oh my God, I'm starting this
scooper
like
up.
Super cool yoga store right by my house, like a mile from where I grew up. And my son is leaving, or not my son, my nephew is coming to live with me after getting out of the Navy. He had finished and like was just like wrapping up getting his stuff out of Beaufort.
Yep.
And coming to live with John, and I'd love to like have a sit down and maybe we can like do something together. We're working on this project to maybe we could do like our own line. And so meet Trav and John and my mom at this Greek restaurant, and we are chatting about the store. I decide Trav is cool and cute and charismatic and all those things, and decide to meet with him like a week later or so. And we just sat in a little bakery called Benjamin's Bakery in right on Lake Eola in Thornton Park in Orlando. And we, at the end of our meeting, had our company, I had first sketches of our first designs. We had our name Yogavated. I remember I have the paper, I have the AVA, like a rectangle around the AVA, because I loved that the word was symmetrical. And yeah, our goal was to make art out of activewear. You know, after my fingerprint collection, so many people were like, oh my God, it's like wearable art. And I was like, yeah, but like nobody could actually wear this stuff. Like how about we like create something that people can actually wear? And printed leggings were kind of on the rise and, you know, happening more and very cool looking. And I was like, this could be art, like real artists. And it could, instead of you having to go to somebody's house and see the art on their walls, you could appreciate it on their body. And like, you know, the person is art, the intention from the artwork can like match with the yoga practice. So every hang tag had like a little blurb about what the art piece meant. But yeah, you could wear it in, you know, yoga, and any exercise is like really a gift that you give yourself, and you don't have to really. And to wear something intentional that makes you feel great and empowered and beautiful and, you know, excited about life, to a place where, you know, it's almost like, you know, meditation, all this stuff is like a spiritual experience. So it's not just a workout. It's like, you know, it's something that's so close to you when you're doing something for yourself. And so, Yogavated was born in that bakery.
Cause, it's the concept that you guys came up with and the pieces that you made, because when they say wearable art, when she says wearable art, they took local paintings like Jermaine Lemus, that was, I think, one of their first lines that they used his stuff, right? And they take the artist's artwork and they sew it, and they print it onto fabric in a way where they incorporate it into the pant style of like a legging style. So you can look up Yogavated and see some of these designs and see what they've made. But they take, it's cool because it's not just like throwing a pattern on a pair of leggings, right? It's you're taking somebody's work. Somebody spent their soul and effort into making this beautiful piece, and then you guys are putting it onto clothing. But you're not only promoting the clothing, you're promoting the artist. So you guys are, you know, you were having showcases with the artist and his artwork, and then the pants that came from it, and it just came full circle. And it was like such a really cool concept that, I mean, we did the one at the, what was that place called in Florida? You guys had the
Artagon.
The Artagon. It's not there anymore, but they had a really,
so
a
good,
really cool,
it's
show there.
Artagon, unfortunately.
Yeah, Artagon now.
But yeah, it was yeah, man. But yeah, Yogavated was so special. You know, it was something I always struggled with motivation to work out. I kind of felt like maybe there were some like deeper rooted like self-image things with working out. I didn't understand the mental benefits for it quite yet at that young age. Like, I was 20, so like, to me, the motivation part of Yogavated was so important, because it was like showing people working out yoga, your exercise is not about your physical body. It's about the connection between your mind and your physical body, and how you can have this like sense of relief and, you know, all of these amazing euphoric feelings, from the exercise, and it has nothing to do with being skinny or, you know, tone or anything like that. It's all about this sense of health, and, you know, living is such a amazing opportunity to have life on earth and to like have this, you know, exercise to be healthy and live longer. And, you know, that's what it was really about and promoting. And so to take the artist's intention and put it connected to something you wear when you are working out, this was like the motivating part of it all. So that's how it kind of like as a brand all came full circle. And we still have all kinds of people who have like have all of the hang tags with the intentions right? on them, like all around their mirror and stuff. It's like that's so cool. Cute. But so I was actually, so when I went back to school in New York, we had like a mission. It was like, okay, let's figure out a budget. Let's figure out how to actually get this stuff made. Because one of my biggest goals with YogaVated was to not be the person making the stuff, and I would just be the designer. And so found a way to get the stuff printed on the fabric, found a fabric supplier we loved in the US. I went to all places in the garment district in New York, and the goal was to find someone to sew our leggings. We were gonna start with like 600 pieces, and you know, so it made it so that there was only like 50 of each, and this was going to be like a big part of it, like limited edition. And basically we had shipped all of the fabric to my house in New York City, because now I'd moved back into the city, and we go to this, Travis and I go right after the second show, right after like the second fusion show that I opened, go to this place that I had already like buttoned it up. They're going to do the work for us. And we were like, okay, we're going to pull the trigger, blah, blah, blah. And I like was confirming they had the machinery, and they were trying to like, they were trying to like undercut me, basically saying that they had this certain machinery that they did not have. And they thought, oh, this little blonde girl, she doesn't know the difference. And
oh,
nope,
so
I
the
know the
stitching,
difference, dude.
Because you needed a flat stitch machine or something like that. You need
certain,
so they didn't have it, and they thought they could just sew it, and you would go, oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, and they, and we would, it was like camouflaged from other machines, but it, the reason why the flat stitch is so special is because it's only two layers of fabric and the thread. Whereas what they were going to do was four layers of fabric and four layers of thread. So it was going to be really thick. So if you've ever like taken off a pair of tight pants or something, and you have marks on your legs, or it like really hurts when you're rubbing your legs together right at the seam, those are all things that, you know, the flat stitch stops. And so we were like wanting to have high quality stuff. Anyway, we're in there, and we pulled from the production with them, and now we have to figure out how to make this stuff. Shit. All of our fabric, $5,000 of fabric, is in New York in my apartment. And so,
was it just one sample that they made, and they had all the fabric, or what, like how?
Yeah, so they made a sample. Like basically I went in there and had a sample made. We were looking at the sample, and I'm like,
this ain't right.
No, it's not what you said you had. Yeah. And so anyway, so I go to a mechanic at my school that I had become friends with. I knew he sold machines, and you know, he does the mechanics for like the sewing machines around the school. And I was like, do you know anybody with one of these flat machines? Like, I'm looking for a production company, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I don't know any companies, but I have one of these machines.
Oh, no shit. That's where you guys got it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No shit.
And so he told me $3,800 for this machine. And we bought it.
Nice.
And he delivered it to my apartment. I lived with three other girls, these poor girls. I had the whole living room like completely covered with stuff.
Were they fashion students too?
And like, this machine is loud. Yeah. So two of them were fashion students and one of them was a theater girl. So she understood. Everybody understood. Nobody said anything. But I just was like rumbling with this machine vibrating the whole building. Like, and I'm like, oh my god, it's 2 a.m.
And like noise complaints, and you're not even partying, you're just sewing.
Yeah. Yeah, sewing, totally. But man, they had quoted me, this production company had quoted me like 2 weeks for the 600 units. I'm like, okay, it's gonna take me a month at tops. Well, I had never seen one of these machines before. There are no YouTube videos on how to use this machine. Like, and so I am like figuring out how to use this machine. It was like building a car. Like,
no
it
shit.
Was like, if, yeah, like, I mean, it was crazy. So it was so hard. And so anyway, I'm sewing these leggings because I signed up for this for no reason. And I had promised John and Travis that I would have the first batch, which I was going to be 600 leggings, the first batch done for the grand opening of Ball Ball in April, like April 8th or something. And this is like after my fusion show. So this is like March 15th at least. And so in 2 weeks, I only made 50 leggings. So they were taking me an hour each. Every single one of them was horrible. And I ended up getting better. But when we released them in Florida at Ball Ball, everybody was so excited. And they just got it. You could like see in their eyes, like, this is so cool. The art, yep, the intention, like, they just like totally got what we were like doing, showing them.
Yep.
And yeah, like, and that was so cool. Like, and that feeling of like people actually buying the leggings I had brought down and spent the last 3 weeks like slaving over. But of course I didn't know how this machine works. So it's like a loop construction. And what happened was like, if I had nicked by accident, like one piece of thread, the whole thing would unravel. So people who bought that first night, those first 50, they were all coming apart.
Oh,
and so
no.
Then I'm like, oh my God, this like, yeah, this like is the worst thing like, that
downward
could ever
dog.
Happen. Like our reputation, right. Our reputation as a company, we're never going to be able to hang with Lulu, like, you know, all this stuff. But like, but the beauty in that, like that I look back on is that like, you know, so many people overanalyze and like wait until things are absolutely perfect till they put something into the world. And
but then
here
they never
we
do.
Were like, you know, you just, and then they never do.
Yep, yep.
And so like, this was us just saying like, fuck it. Like
ready, fire, aim,
we
baby.
We put a date. Yeah. We had this date locked in,
yep,
and we had to perform. We had to put something out on the table.
Yeah. Yep.
And this was it. And so luckily, you know, we had all of those people like really forgave us and we were able to, and it was a great learning experience for me. Like I knew from that moment on, like, this is how this machine works. Like,
yeah,
and
yeah,
maybe if I hadn't had that experience, then I maybe like wouldn't have learned that about the machine.
So
let me
break you up here a little bit. So I think one of my favorite...
I do have to like pee really bad. Can I go?
Go pee.
Can we pause for a second? I got to pee.
I'm going to pause it.
Okay.
I'm not going to pause it. I'm
okay,
going to talk. I'm going to talk to myself. No, I will pause it. We're pausing.
So funny.
All right. So, all right. We just took a pee break. We're all good. We're fresh.
Pee break.
But I want to talk about... So I think it was when... You told us one thing. When you were sewing the leggings, you would measure the time in the amount of Family Guy episodes that you watched. So you were like, oh, you judged how many leggings you can make based on how many Family Guy episodes went by. So you're like, okay, I can make, you know, 3 leggings in 2 Family Guy episodes or whatever it was. So you would measure time in Family Guy episodes. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, I had already at that young age, like, learned so much about myself that, like, I knew that I was starting to get anxious about sewing because I was listening to music. And the music was like, the songs are only 3 minutes or something, or 4 minutes. And so I was taking longer to sew a legging than the songs. And so I was like having all this anxiety, like, oh my gosh, it take me 4 songs to sew a legging.
Listen,
like,
to 4 albums.
Yeah. And so I had measured that it was like the perfect length was like a 20-minute sitcom. So I was like watching Family Guy all the time because every Family Guy episode was like 1 legging.
Yeah.
And this is when they were like taking me so long, like, but yeah, so I had realized, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a much happier person actually sewing these if this anxiety of like the music elapsing before me, like, or beating me to like the end of 1 legging. Yeah. But yeah, it's so funny that you remember that.
I remember very little.
And of course, it's Family Guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that time in Florida when we were all living there, that was because it's for the people who don't know, it was myself, my wife, Travis, our friend Travis, Haley, our friend Bobby, and another girl, Genevieve. It was like, and then a few other friends, but like that was like the house core. But we live, you know, Trav was going to college at Rollins. I actually was going to college too. I just graduated, but I was taking a few more semesters. And yeah, we had a party house.
we had the
party house.
It was honestly the best. Like, oh, Jesse, dude, would come up and be like, I have all of these ideas for shows and books. And she'd tell us the stories. She'd read to us. And we'd be like, you know, totally swooned over her, like, stories. And, like, it's just like to be surrounded by all those people that were like so supportive of each other and be surrounded by doers. Like, you know, what a important thing to be, like, you know, no matter what anybody was doing, it didn't matter. It was just like, do something. And you know, it was like, oh, fun, like, we get to go to your event because you have this thing, like, you know, it was just so fun.
We'd
wake up in the morning and like all have coffee and sit on the porch and do personality tests.
Oh, dude, it was the best time. And the funny thing is, we didn't realize, like, at least I didn't realize, like, that was some of the most, like, memorable moments of my life. You know what I mean? Especially excluding, like, the military experience. Like, that time in Florida that we spent was next level. It was so much fun. It was really cool to be a part of it. And, you know, I get to meet a lot of cool people.
Yeah.
And, like, we all had the same type of goal in mind, was, like, create. Like, we're not going to get into this.
Yeah.
We had this anti, like, 9-to-5, this type of thing. Like, we're not just going to fade into the the whatever and just work, you know, endlessly for somebody else. It's like, we're going to create something of our own. So it was really cool to be in a group of people that had that.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it was right when Trav was done with the Navy. Mm-hmm. I don't know when you finished, but, like, what I gathered from hearing your stories is that, like, the military is so much camaraderie and like supporting each other, because nobody's gonna get it like the people that you're with. And you know, it was almost like we had this little extension of that, you know, it was all support, no, like. And, you know, we'd fuck around, too. Like, it was so fun. Some of the funnest days of my life in that backyard. But, Yeah, but like just idiots. Like,
Yeah.
well, and I'll never forget, like, you showed me this cube personality test. This is what made me think of that. But in it was basically like you were supposed to imagine like whatever visual your brain came up with when they provoked you, like with words on the screen, was showed something about your personality. And I remember the cube represented your ego. So like the size of the cube was like how big your ego is. And I remember us going back and forth and saying what ours were. And you were like, mine was like a little dice. Like your cube, Travis was like, my cube is a skyscraper. And Steven is like, my cube is a little dice. Like you held it in with your two fingers. I have one more story
That, yeah,
about
is
that
it
back
about the
porch.
Army versus Navy? The difference between the Army and the Navy?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, everybody will love it. Yeah. So voodoo,
So this is the difference. I was in the
voodoo
Army.
is
Travis, the
Travis.
guy we're talking about, is was in the
And
Navy.
Travis
So
was in the Navy.
yeah.
So voodoo is Travis's dog, lives in the house. Conan, beautiful golden retriever, was Steven's dog, or is Steven's dog still, but is no longer with us. And Voodoo throws up in on the back porch. Big, chunky, nasty. He's constantly throwing up. So Travis, the owner of Voodoo, is like, oh no, Voodoo threw up. Let me go get a paper towel. I'll clean this up. And before he's even in the kitchen, before Travis is even in the kitchen saying he's gonna get something and clean it up, Steven has both his bare hands scooping this chunky dog vomit up off the floor. And I am just watching this like a bystander. And I'm like, I guess right there is the difference between the Army and the Navy. Oh, Travis doesn't like that joke very much.
I love it so much. I love it so much.
It's so true. Like, this dog's not even yours. Like, well, I mean, like, basically, we were all owners of all the dogs in the house, except for Sully, maybe, but Sully didn't claim us. But yeah, like
That's
here's
so fucking
like
funny.
Travis's child throwing up in the back porch, and
Like,
he's like, oh, I'll go get a
bloop.
towel. And
So,
Steven's like, oh, let me go lick that up.
so there's a similar
Basically.
story to that when my dad was visiting, and myself, Jesse, and my father were on the back porch, and Sully shit on the back porch. Like, he's a 9 pound, 8 pound toy poodle. His shit is like a little fucking Tootsie Roll. So I just grabbed it and I chucked it outside, and my dad lost it. He said, "No son of you're no son of mine. No son of mine would pick up dog shit with their bare hands and throw it out the window." He like went. He fucking lost it. He disowned me at that point. It was the best time of my existence.
That
It
is
was so fucking funny.
hysterical. Oh my gosh.
No son of
Yeah,
mine would
and I
pick up
mean,
dog poop with his bare hands.
gosh, and I just totally love your pair. They're so great. I mean, we had so many great times. Like, I remember I was thinking about, because I'm gonna be going to Florida for Christmas, I was like, that time where it was you all came to my house, my family Christmas Eve, and we did the gift exchange, and you didn't understand it was like a real gift, and you brought like a white elephant, like a quilt, and like everybody's like, what the fuck is this? Like,
I also got Jack. I put a bunch of, what did I do? I put like boxes and boxes and balloons and shit. And I forgot what I did.
yeah.
Because I got him something that he could
Jack's like,
open, and then he had to open again, and then he had to open again, and it ended up being like a Duckett shirt in the middle of it. It was like a box
oh
within a
yeah.
box within a box with like
Jack wears the Duckett shirt all the time. Still,
yes.
Like, I still get videos of him wearing the Duckett
Good.
shirt.
Good.
Oh,
I gotta get him a
so
new one.
funny. But yeah, such a good chosen family. That was the best.
Yeah, I would if I could, I would go back to those days. And but you don't realize, like, in the moment, like, you're you know, because we were just in the moment, so we didn't know, like, we were just trying to make it through, you know. We were trying to work on everything that we're trying to work on, and we're trying to, you know, grow from the experience, and we're like in it, you know, and we're just struggling. Because I mean, none of us had much money at that point.
We had nothing.
We had six roommates and fucking, like, I think something I'll never forget, because when we started the whole ball thing, John originally hired Bobby on board to help with all the marketing stuff, but he didn't have enough in his budget to hire me. So he was paying Bobby $180 a week to part time to do some, you know, marketing stuff. But Bobby wanted me to be involved, so he gave me half of that. So when we were working, we're working for, you know, $90 a week, but we were working towards something. You know what I mean? We weren't, like, the business wasn't a thing at the time. So we weren't, like, working, you know, it was with the idea of, hey, we're creating something here. There's not much, you know, money to be passed around, but in the eventually, hopefully, we can make this into something. So, like, I would never trade that experience for anything, because, you know, everything I do now today is really based off of what I learned starting ball and starting everything that we were doing from there. So, you know, it kind of really was like sink or swim. It was like we jumped in the fire, like, hey, this is what we got. We got a, you know, ready, fire, aim type of thing. Like, we got a thing that we're opening here now, and we got to figure it out. So it was really cool to be a part of that. And that's a part of my life that I would never, you know, change for anything, was that whole experience that we went through.
Yeah, man. Beautiful. Just the best. And we were working like 80 hours a week.
Yeah, we were going
nothing.
Ham.
we were going ham.
But it was almost an extension of the military, because we had that camaraderie that you know, people, when you get out of the military, you long for that type of camaraderie. And what we had in that house, right, with everyone working towards the same goal, and just like from scratch, from, you know, there's no precedent set, like, we're doing this from scratch. Like, I wouldn't change that for anything. That was such a great experience, you know.
Yeah, well, and so many people wouldn't do that. Like talk about your die ego, like your little tiny cube. You know, so many people say, oh, I'm worth more than that, or, you know, all this stuff. Like, honestly, it all comes out in the wash. Like, hopefully things like that work out, and sometimes they don't. But like I said earlier, the time's going to pass anyway. So, like, you can choose to be part of something, or you can be choose to, you know, be part of someone else's something.
Yeah, and I was,
like,
just happy to be part
like
of it,
bro.
I was happy to be
in
the show.
A big,
like,
part.
Yeah, I was like, man, I just want to be part of this. Because, you know, when I met Travis and we connected in South Carolina when he moved in with me after his whole deal, like, it was,
yeah,
I don't know, his whole energy, his whole spirit, like, we connected, both of us kind of connected, and we had a similar outlook where we're like, we wanted to try, doers. Like you said, we wanted to be doers. We wanted to do.
Yeah.
So it was like, we both saw that in each other, and it was like, dude, I don't want to be left behind in this. We, you know, we were living in South Carolina. This whole opportunity kind of presented itself, and we were all gung ho about, let's make this thing happen. So it's really cool to see you guys,
and honestly, like,
and doing a, you know, still doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, from what what it started as to where you guys are at now, and the growth and the drive and the like, it's par none, man. I mean, you guys, you fucking did it, dude. Like, you did it.
Well, we're doing it. I don't know if we did it, but you know, like,
well, you're always gonna have your I think problems, but you're doing it. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah, like, and honestly, problem solving is one of my favorite things. So you know, when I thrive when there's a problem to be solved, and you know, I used to kind of be embarrassed because we sort of dissolved Yogavated. And when we moved out here to Arizona, long story short, we were looking for more machines because I had sewn like 4,000 leggings just on this one machine that I bought from my mechanic. Like, yeah. And so we were looking for more machines. This company was out here in Arizona that had all of the machines we needed. Mm-hmm. Basically, in hindsight, I realized she was basically going out of business. So she just wanted to sell it before she closed the doors, mm-hmm. like see if she could sell it. And it was everything we needed. And there was only one seamstress working at the time. So I was still going to be sewing, but at least everything was going to be like right.
Yeah.
And it was this big step in the direction of we're doing it. Like, and, you know, having employees had definitely put like an extra level of stress on us. Like, you know, it was no longer this like sense of, oh, you know, in Florida, it was like, you know, sometimes we just looked at each other and we'd be like, we can't do it today. Let's go to the beach. Like, you know, you don't have to ask Trav to go to the beach twice. But
we can't do our beach, baby.
Yeah. We just like, you know, but we knew when we could and we knew when we couldn't. Mm. Like, I pulled all nighters up to this year for work. You know, I crashed my car actually last year. I fallen asleep driving home, like, so scary.
Oh, what?
But
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not something I'm broadcasting. Now
you
I
weren't
am.
Bragging about that.
Yeah. No. But anyway, you know, having like the employees definitely put like this extra like weight to it that I didn't first think was going to happen. Like, I thought I would get relief when it was not just me sewing. And as soon as I realized that I had like other people's livelihood in my hands, in our hands, it was a really scary thing. And Trav has been an incredible partner throughout the whole thing. Like, you know, we met basically sitting at that coffee shop and didn't know each other. And we basically shook hands, and who knew that 7 years later, we were actually going to be like still partners.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are so many things that I admire about Trav that, you know, he's such a doer, I guess maybe he's evolved into being a doer, but in the beginning he was the dreamer and I was the doer. He's like comes up with like all of these like amazing ideas and I'm like, let's go do that. Like, straight faced, like into the soul, like, let's go.
Give me
like,
the job.
Stop
I need the job now. I need the job.
Yeah, give me the job. So, you know, like, there's just been so many highs and lows that you get. And it's so funny how, like, the one high you get, like, the excitement of, like, going to a trade show and, like, somebody says your stuff is, you know, you can live as an entrepreneur on that high for so long, maybe like, too long.
Yeah, you're like, that motherfucker 5 years ago said, like, I had a good idea. That homeless guy with no teeth said I had a good idea, and I believe him.
Yeah. And you hold on to it so much. And, like, and, you know, it's crazy because like I've been at my lowest lows and working towards this company, and I've also been at like my highest highs, you know. There's, like I said earlier, like there's nothing better than like people around you appreciating what you're putting out into the world. And so we've been doing it and we're still doing it, and it's evolved and pivoted and like shifted and changed, and there's naysayers, but there's also woohooers, and like it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
That gives you appreciation for it. When you work so hard at something, and then you like you understand what it takes to do that. There's so many people that don't try. They just say, all right, you know, it's safer to do this. You know, I'll go do this, and you know, I know that this will work out. I can work this job doing this. But it takes such a different mentality to step out of that, you know, hey, I have this thing for sure. Like, I can do this. I know I can make a career out of this. It takes a whole different type of person to be like, just jump in, dude, and do it, you know? And yeah. And
without... it's like the 5-second rule, like, just jump in. Like, if you think about it too hard, that 5 seconds passes and your feet don't leave the ground. Like,
exactly.
So, you know, like, it's, if you just jump, then you're going to land somewhere. And that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned running this business is that, you know, like, don't overthink things, just do them. Yeah. And
because you're going to land like, somewhere.
Everything
like you
that
said.
I used to think,
you're going to land somewhere.
Everything I used to think.
So it's like if you're going to land somewhere. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. But like if you're going to land somewhere.
Yeah, no, you go.
If you're going to land somewhere, that's more than you would have landed if you wouldn't have taken the jump. You know, you're going to land in a place where you have insight, you have perspective, you've gained knowledge, you have something to build from. But if you don't take that jump, and at least put some sort of effort into it, you're never going to fucking grow. So, go on. We interrupted each other.
Yeah.
But
we were both too excited. But I mean, like, exactly what you're saying. Like, and I also think that we live in a world where people are really scared of fear in itself.
Yeah.
And like all of these emotions that are away from homeostasis, like, you know, you always hear people say, like, you know, I think maybe less now, but they just want to be comfortable. They want, I just want a career where it's safe and I know where I'm going and that I'm getting my paycheck and blah, blah, blah. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Yeah. That feels really good a lot
but
of the
you don't
time.
Grow.
Like,
you're not growing.
But yeah, like, and, you know, I think Travis and I have done very well is like sinking into all of the emotions that present themselves and like seeing the good in those emotions and saying like, without this fear, I'm never going to experience the euphoric feeling that is on the other side, you know, and to hurt this bad while I'm like persevering and like trying and like, you know, even though I just want to like sit on the couch and cry.
But that's what growth is.
You know,
that's growth.
This other feeling on the other side. Yeah. And yeah, it's, I want to live in a world where there's more of that. So I have to have more of that. Like, I want to live in a world where people are taking the leap. And so like you lead by example, I guess. And so like, I've always just done that.
See, a lot of people see
the leap. Who knows where the leap is going?
Yeah. Right. Well, a lot of people see fear as a negative thing. Right. But if you have fear, that means you're trying something that is out of your comfort zone and you're going to grow from that. It's growth. So you should embrace fear, like I mean, being in the military and being, you know, being a medic and deploying to Afghanistan, it kind of that made me realize that, like, if I didn't do that and I stayed on the path that I was on before I joined the military, I wouldn't have grown at all. I wouldn't have the perspective, the insight, the knowledge that I have and that I appreciate. You know, I look back on my military career, and I'm so glad that I got to see, not that people are like suffering, but I'm so glad that I got to see a different side of life than what I was used to growing up. You know, I saw kids, you know, getting shot, kids getting blown up, fucking, you know, families getting torn apart, like people living in, you know, drinking from streams that like a fucking muddy ass river where people are shitting upstream, like living in mud huts, shitting in holes, no electricity.
Yeah.
And it made me just appreciate everything. It made me like just, you know, glad for a fucking toilet or running water or just food in general. So it's things that we take for granted here, and we're, you know, and that's why I say you have like a military perspective on things, because you struggled and you didn't give in to the pain, you know, of like fear and anxiety or just not knowing what is going to come from what you're doing. You just dug into it. You dug into that hurt. You dug into that pain. You dug into that uncomfortableness of growing, and you thrived in it. Like you, I mean, you would have been a good soldier. You really would. But you took this whole, people could have gone through what you've gone through and been like, I'm a victim. This is a negative thing. Like, I hate that I had to go through this, but you went through it and you were like, you're proud to have gone through it. You grew from it. It birthed you, you know, you merely adopted the doc. I was born in it, you know, fucking Bane from Batman, like, you know, so
yeah,
it's like,
oh, you're so sweet.
I have such respect for people that can take these hits, right, these speed bumps, these constant jabs, and thrive through them, you know, and overcome them. So it's, I don't know. I love it. It's awesome. It's so fucking awesome.
Thanks, Steven. You're the best too, dude. Like,
no, I'm an idiot. I'm a complete idiot. 100%.
Well, you like all of these. I think the reason why our friendship has like continued to evolve, and even when I don't see you or talk to you for a while, I can still just call you up any moment. Like, is because we have a lot of the same core values.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned the 5-second rule. Like, you did that when you joined the military. Like, yeah, your story of going to go get milk and instead join the military. You know, like, whatever it was, you felt called to do that, and you had this 5-second rule, and you just said it changed who you are in your life. And, you know, of course, it's like you see a lot of crazy fucking shit, but it made you who you are, and you don't succumb to, you know, feelings of hurt and all that stuff. And, you know, that I can never actually even understand, having not been in the military. But, you know, it's like I see another sailor at sea when I see you. So it's always nice to see you.
Well, see, the difference is that I was thrusted into a situation where I had to adapt, or I was, you know, like I could die. You know, it's like I need to figure this out or I'm going to die. But you had the drive and the determination and everything. Like, it wasn't a life or death situation for you, but it might have felt like that because you wanted to get out of the situation you were in. So you had the military experience without being in the military because you were put in a situation where your back was against the wall and you felt like, if I don't do this, then, like, what am I going to do? Like, there's nothing I'm going to do. So you know, you took that fear, that anxiety, that self-doubt, that everything, and you turned it and you fucking thrived in it and you made it your own. And people can't do that. Most people can't do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I had an amazing family life growing up and stuff. There was no like sense of, oh, I need to get out. Like,
Well, I'm not saying it like that. I'm not saying that you
because it wasn't.
Yeah. But you want
to improve. But it was this sense of like I had to like if for some, for whatever reason, you know, my parents didn't sew, my grandma's didn't teach me, so like, you know, for no reason at all, this was like proposed in front of me, this like understanding, like it's really just like my soul career, I guess. Like,
yeah,
my soulmate, like I feel like I just understood this industry and world, and really it just gave me confidence that I don't know that I had other places, because I wasn't a good student. Like, you know, if I had to read out loud to the class, it was like the most embarrassing thing in the world. Like, so to have found.
I get embarrassed reading out loud to my 2-year-old, bro.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Don't fucking judge me, bro. No.
It's
the, bro. It's the. I'm like, fuck you, bro. Fuck yeah.
Tahi. Tahi. So funny. But yeah, so to finally have found something that I thought I was great at, you know, and other people thought I was great at, it is really the
icing on the cake.
This like thing that provoked like my whole career is, you know, this sense of like, I belong here. I belong doing this thing. So similar, almost like a camaraderie, like you're part of something, you're working towards something that matters. Like that mattered to me was that, like, to do something like what I do today, and to think that I'd be where I am now in a house that I bought by myself, like, you know, from a career that everybody thought was ludicrous. Like, you know, I can't imagine what this little girl inside me would have said. Like,
but you put in the work. Crazy. That's the thing, is you put in the work. Like I said, there's so many people that would take your situation and go, I can't do this because. But you said, you know what? There's these speed bumps. There's these obstacles in the way. I'm going to fucking do it in spite of, you know, and you made it work.
Yeah.
So let's just.
Made it work.
You made it work.
I worked to make it work.
Well, Haley Byfield, we've been doing this. This is 2 hours now. We're going 2 hours. I'm going to make this a two-parter. I'm going to release this in a two-parter. I'm going to have a part one and a part two.
Oh, snap.
The suspense up. But I want to say thank you. I'm so like grateful that you were, you know, you came on here and you were, you know, said yes. Thank you for saying yes.
Yeah. Well, I say yes to shit now.
But I mean, I'm so proud of what you have accomplished, and, you know, especially we all, you know, for people who don't know, like Haley, Travis, who she speaks about, their business partner, myself, my wife, Jessie, our friend, Bobby, his girlfriend at the time, Genevieve. There are a few of us, there are a bunch of us that kind of lived at this house in Florida, and it was like a creative dojo. Like we supported each other and we pushed each other to, you know, create and go for the outside the norm. We didn't want this 9-to-5 deal. You know, we wanted to create something of our own. So, like, that was one of the most influential times of my life, and I really appreciate that you were part of it, you know?
Yeah, likewise, dude. Love you so much. And Jesse. And Mr. Eli, and your little mini me, Hayes.
Yep, Hayes and little Sully. Even Sully. We like Sully. Maybe sometimes.
Sully!
But thank you again. I'm gonna hit stop.
Yeah.
Go duck yourself, bitches.